California school counselors would be allowed to kidnap children from their parents and send them off to live in mental institutions under a new bill that so-called lawmakers in California are considering. Meanwhile, the dominoes are falling on what remains of the U.S. dollar's global reign. We'll have updates on that for you. Trans activists are calling for a day of vengeance against Christians and conservatives. And of course, Congress, as usual, is up to no good. We've got the details for you. We also have three incredible guests coming up. One of America's leading pastors, one of America's leading legal minds, and one of America's, actually, one of the world's top experts on home education, if not the top expert. He's got the facts, the figures, the data, and more. All that and much more is coming up right now on Liberty Hour with me, your host, Alex Newman, here on American Media Periscope. Stay tuned. Welcome to Liberty Hour, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Big news on the currency front. Now, in my entire career in journalism, I've been sounding the alarm about the fact that this was coming. Now we're watching it happening. And I hate to say I told you so, but be prepared, folks. Just this morning, we got news that Brazil and Communist China had signed a deal to start trading in their own currencies. They were going to cut the U.S. dollar out of the system. Not too long before that, the president of Kenya announced a deal with the Chinese to start doing business in their own currencies and with the Saudis. Of course, the U.S. dollar has been the global reserve currency since Nixon took it off the gold standard because of our deals with oil-producing countries, that all oil bought and sold internationally would be traded in U.S. dollars. France also has just come to an agreement with the Chinese and others to trade in their own local currencies for liquefied natural gas. So folks, this is happening fast. The implications for the U.S. economy and for the U.S. dollar are enormous. And you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. It may happen very suddenly. Moving over to the land of fruits and nuts, better known as California, they have a new bill. It's Assembly Bill 665, one bill short of AB 666. And this would give school mental health counselors the power to send your children without your permission to go live in residential mental health facilities. In other words, the state can and will kidnap your children from you if in its infinite wisdom or the infinite wisdom of one of these counselors, they determine that your child's mental health is not what it should be. Now, it used to require an imminent danger to one's self or to others before somebody could be sent off to live in a mental institution, but no more. They are going to remove those guardrails. Now, whether this becomes law remains to be seen, but bad news, it passed out of the Judiciary Committee in a 7-2 vote with only two Republicans voting against. And I think this would be a good time to remind you folks that psychiatry is not like other fields of medicine, right? You don't go in for an x-ray to figure out if you have bipolar disorder. You don't go in for a white blood cell count test to figure out if you have, schizophrenia or depression, right? This is entirely subjective. And in fact, psychiatrists come together and they actually vote on what should be a disease. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. They have a vote. And if these psychiatrists determine that this thing should be considered a disease, it will be added into their Bible, they call it, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. And then that will be used to diagnose people. And again, there are no objective tests to determine whether somebody even meets the criteria for these silly diseases that they're inventing. But folks, this is one of the biggest power grabs I've ever seen over the lives of children and into the family. Very, very dangerous things happening. Meanwhile, even as efforts to undermine parental rights are growing, so are, in my opinion, wrongheaded efforts to protect parental rights. We actually just got a big parental rights bill at the federal level that some of our best Republicans voted against, and they said why they voted against. They had Republican Andy Biggs, former chair of the House Freedom Caucus, Republican Ken Buck, Republican Matt Gaetz from here in Florida. They said they voted against this bill because, and I'm quoting, the federal government should not be involved in education. Of course, the Constitution should make that very clear to anybody who's actually read it, but even at the state level, you know, a lot of people are expressing concerns about these parental rights bills because guess what? The state doesn't confer parental rights on you, mom and dad. Your parental rights supersede and pre-exist government. These are God-given responsibilities, right? This is not something that the state can bestow upon you at its pleasure and then revoke when it feels like it. So we're treading into very dangerous territory here, folks. Heading over to Congress, the House Judiciary Committee just released a report showing that Attorney General Merrick Garland had no legitimate basis to direct the FBI to use its authority against parents who were protesting at at school boards. Even local U.S. attorney's offices were like, what? We have to do this? According to the report, this directive from Garland was very poorly received, and they did not see any imminent threats to school boards or their members. But, you know, priorities, right? They couldn't arrest the Antifa types protesting and threatening Supreme Court justices because they had important things to do, like go harass moms and dads concerned about their children being taught that they could be castrated to become their true selves. Welcome to America in 2023. U.S. Representative Luna of Florida wants to see justice for murder victims who were born alive in abortions in Washington, D.C. She actually showed some images of this horror and put it into the Congressional Record. Watch.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being here today. I just wanted to start out by saying that probably not just on this committee, but in the entire House of Representatives, I am the only member of Congress that has both survived an armed robbery, a home invasion, a gang shooting on my school campus, and I remember being a young girl and being brought to a cousin's funeral that had been murdered. She was shot. So when I hear people trying to turn this, which is a hearing on a stabilizing brace, into issues of gun violence and raising the topics and concerns of children and violence against children, I would like to remind people that in Washington, Chairman, if I could submit these to the record, in Washington,
so moved.
Thank you. We are allowing for late-term abortion, and these babies were born alive. And my colleagues are not acknowledging that. So
I don't know what you do with that. It's just sick and horrifying and tragic all at the same time. But I'm glad somebody's speaking out in Washington, D.C. These are murders, folks. These are murders. And the people whining for gun control because they claim to care about children do not care one iota about the mass slaughter taking place across our country. And the Democrats can't even rely on their usual line of, well, it's just a bump of cells, right? These are babies who were born alive, who were then killed or allowed to die by very cruel and very sick and very demented individuals. The Restrict Act, which is posing as a tool to stop TikTok and communist Chinese espionage, is actually much broader. It is a bill for incredibly Orwellian censorship, and we shouldn't be surprised knowing who it was introduced by: Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, radical Democrat who hates free speech, and Senator Tom Thune of South Dakota, a rhino if there ever was one. So folks, beware. This grants the federal government huge new unconstitutional powers to punish you with up to 20 years in prison for doing things on the internet that they don't like, and even for using VPNs to access things that they don't like. Folks, this is crazy. Some good news. Senate voted 66-30 to repeal the unconstitutional resolutions purporting to give the president the power to launch war in Iraq. And of course, that's been used to launch military confrontations elsewhere. This would be a good time for a constitutional reminder that only Congress has the power to declare war, although that hasn't happened since World War II, and most of our Congress acts like the Constitution no longer applies. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin told lawmakers he has no regrets about the disastrous withdrawal from the United States out of Afghanistan. No regrets at all. Forget the $85 billion worth of military equipment that we left for the Taliban. Forget about spending 20 years, trillions of dollars, thousands of American lives to replace the Taliban with the Taliban. No regrets. None at all. Okay. Folks, these are the people running your military and your government today. Just heads up. And it gets worse. Now, after leaving $90 billion almost worth of military equipment in Afghanistan and then sending much of what we had left over to Ukraine, America is running dangerously low on munitions that we would actually need to defend ourselves in the event of a conflict. And even the fake media is now admitting this. The Center for Strategic and International Studies was quoted in PBS saying that what the U.S. has been able to do is use a range of its stockpile weapons. Now, the number of those stockpiles are decreasing. The New York Times reports that U.S. efforts to supply Ukraine have left the military low on artillery, on shells, and on more sophisticated weapons. And just the perfect time to have war with China now that China makes everything and we can't even keep our Air Force jets in the sky. Biden nominee Phil Washington, who was nominated to run the FAA, yeah, we showed him a couple weeks ago, got 7 out of 7 questions wrong about aviation when he was questioned in the Senate. His nomination has now been withdrawn, apparently over criminality, not over the fact that he didn't know anything about aviation. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is preparing to unleash a battery of executive orders to supposedly address alleged man-made climate change. That's according to his climate envoy, climate czar John Kerry, who was busy flying around the world in his private jet to lecture us about how we need to eat less hamburgers and drive less cars. He called the Inflation Reduction Act, and you thought it was about inflation. He said it was a huge leap forward. Chairman Mao, pick up the red phone, please. A huge leap forward in the battle against climate change. And here's what he said. He says the IRA is a package that in and of itself can't get us to 40% decrease in CO2 emissions. But in addition to that, the president is issuing executive orders. There will be changes on automobiles, on light truck, on heavy duty, number of initiatives that are being taken by the state. You know, at this point, I don't even know why we have a Congress anymore. They cost us a lot of money. And if President Biden could just rule with his pen and his phone, what's the point of the whole, clown show? I don't know. All right, this is insane, but it is what's going on. Republican and Democrats on the U.S. Senate voted to repeal Joe Biden's ridiculous expansion of wetlands or waters of the United States. Basically, they wanted to say everything, every puddle, every stream, every seasonal mud puddle is waters of the United States. And therefore, anywhere where there's water, the federal government gets to take charge. Even Democrats voted against this power grab, 53-43 vote. Joe Manchin, John Tester, Democrat senator from Montana, and Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and independent senator Kristen Sinema all voted against this. Of course, Joe Biden has said he will veto the measure. Hopefully, House Republicans can defund this when the time comes in September. Senator Ron Johnson was upset with Democrats for defeating an amendment that would have required that the Constitution be obeyed when it comes to ratifying treaties. Check it out.
Mr. President.
Senator from Wisconsin.
Mr. President, last December, the World Health Assembly established an intergovernmental negotiating body to draft a new convention on pandemic prevention and preparedness. At its fourth meeting last month, the negotiating body accepted a draft of this new convention that would give the World Health Organization broad new powers in managing future pandemics. If accepted, it would cement the World Health Organization at the center of a global system for managing future pandemics, and it would erode U.S. sovereignty. Let me just list a few of the examples of some of the provisions of this draft and I'll call it a treaty. Currently, it would require a substantial new financial U.S. financial commitment to an international body without a proportional vote.
Yeah, he goes on, folks. This is a massive power grab that would basically give the WHO authority to dictate any kind of emergency pandemic response, not just in our country, but around the world. And Joe Biden saying it's an executive agreement. We don't even need to have it ratified by the U.S. Senate. You're starting to see a pattern here. Meanwhile, a mass murder of Christian children in Tennessee, multiple 9-year-old children slaughtered by a transgender activist. As the media and the government and politicians continue to whip up hate against Christians and others, of course, this hate is being normalized. We have a Wayne State University professor who was just suspended with pay. That's interesting, after writing that it's admirable to kill a right-wing speaker. It's more admirable than shouting them down on a college campus. That was Stephen Shaviro at the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Wayne State University. And here's what he said. He says, it is far more admirable to kill a racist, homophobic, transphobic speaker than it is to shout them down. And meanwhile, if you thought it couldn't get any crazier, the press secretary for the fraudulent governor of Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs, posted this interesting image about what we do with transphobes. And she literally posted this a few hours after a transgender activist massacred a bunch of Christian children. Folks, it's getting crazy. Meanwhile, as parents mourn their children, the fake media and the LGBT alphabet crew are warning about transphobia. They're warning that the media is not always using the right pronouns for the mass murderer who just shot all these Christian children. The transgender movement is plotting what they describe as a trans day of rage. And anybody who speaks out about this on Twitter is being banned, including Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. Yep, there you go. She got banned for warning that trans activists were planning a trans day of rage. The Manhattan grand jury that is investigating Donald Trump is taking a month off. They're going to be probing this hush money, supposedly involving the prostitute, which, of course, as our guest last week pointed out, this is really extortion. If anybody should be arrested, it's her. But yeah, they say it's a previously scheduled hiatus. We'll see what happens. Meanwhile, the John Birch Society has been in the news constantly for days and days and days. Now, the far left media is concocting wild conspiracy theories about how the John Birch Society secretly controls the Republican Party and the conservative movement. They are frantically hunting for Birchers under every bed. Here you see the New York Slimes. They've got far right and aggrieved how the Birchers fueled today's GOP. Here you have... what else do we have? From the UK Guardian, Bircher's Review, how the Republican far right gave us Trump and DeSantis. Oh, wow. ABC News, how the 1950s far right group, the John Birch Society, influences today's GOP. Yeah, wow. You better check under your bed. Who knows? There may be some members of the John Birch Society there fighting communism and tyranny. So the fake media is, again, making stuff up, but that's what they do. The IRS sent a goon squad to a journalist's home on the day he was testifying in the House Weaponization Committee. I wish I was making it up, but I'm not. Matt Taibbi got an IRS agent at his house, and they pinned a letter to his door saying that he needed to get in touch with them immediately because they were rejecting his tax returns. Okay, the New York Times has an interesting piece they just published by... a Harvard Divinity School writer in residence. Her name is Terry Tempest Williams. And she says we should be granting personhood rights to the Great Salt Lake, which in 2021 was voted Utah of the Year. Isn't that interesting? So we're going to give human rights to a lake, but unborn babies can't have human rights. That's the New York Times for you. Speaking at the big rally in Tel Aviv against Prime Minister Netanyahu's efforts to restore judicial sanity in Israel, Yuval Noah Harari, he's a right-hand man for Klaus Schwab, a great resetter. He thinks we're going to evolve into gods, is what the thesis of his latest book is, Homo Deus, a big transhumanist advocate. He is urging the military and the bureaucracy to obey the courts rather than the elected government of Israel. He's comparing Prime Minister Netanyahu to Pharaoh and suggesting that Netanyahu wants to enslave the Israelis to, I don't know. It's just, it is what it is. Finally, guys, before we go to break, a new report by Ed Dowd, a former fund manager for BlackRock. He's got a new company, Finance Technologies. They did this analysis. They found that there were 25 million people injured, 1.36 million people disabled, 300,000 deaths just in 2022 attributable to the thing that we're not allowed to talk about on so many of the social media things. They estimate the cost of this at $150 billion, and that's just for 2022. Doesn't even count 2021. We're going to be right back after these quick messages, folks, with our first guest, Pastor Paul Blair. Stay tuned.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
RateLock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. Let a company you can trust help you select a RateLock annuity that's right for you. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
Welcome back, folks. This is Liberty Hour. I'm your host, Alex Newman. I hope you're signing up for AMP Insider if you haven't already. Amazing amounts of exclusive content there. In fact, we got interviews with some of the key opinion molders of our nation at the last Reawaken America tour. We'll be doing the same from the one in Miami. I'll be speaking there if you want to come. We'd love to see you there. But a lot of that's only going to be accessible through AMP Insider, so sign up. Folks, our first guest today is a good personal friend. He is a hero in my book. He's a man that God has raised up for such a time as this. He was an NFL football player. He was a former college all-star at Oklahoma State University. He went to go play for the Chicago Bears after that. Then he went into ministry. He has served as senior pastor of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma since 2001. He's also got a satellite church not too far from me, Liberty Church in Orlando. Great, great place. Blair is also the president of Reclaiming America for Christ. He's the founder of the Liberty Pastors Network and the Liberty Pastor Training Camps. I've been doing them all over the country. I've been just incredibly blessed to go to these and to teach at these and to meet amazing pastors all across the country that are learning what the scriptures teach about globalism, the economy, the family, business, politics, government, you name it. As Pastor Paul Blair says, you know, what part of your life is Jesus not the Lord over? And yeah, that's a problem. So Pastor Blair, welcome to the program. Thank you so, so much for joining us today. It's an honor to have you. Paul, what do we make of what is going on in the culture now? We've got a mass murderer shooting up a Christian school. We've had multiple shootings at churches, and the media is fretting about, you know, they're not using the right pronoun. Has America become a post-Christian nation?
Oh, I think that's without doubt. I was talking with a good friend that we would both know, and he asked me not to use this data because he hadn't actually run it through the normal testing processes. But a good friend that's well up to date on Christian statistics did a back of the envelope mathematical equation. I asked him, what percentage of the American population do you think is currently being comprehensively discipled in a biblical worldview? He thought about it, did the math, said we got 325 million Americans. We got about 255 million adults. He did the math. He said, I would guess less than 3 million actually are being discipled. Now understand, that's what the Great Commission is. Not to go and make professors of faith, but to make followers of Christ. It begins with your profession of faith. That's a new birth. Where we're supposed to bring glory to the Lord in everything that we do as Christ followers. He said less than 3 million in the United States of America actually has a comprehensive biblical worldview. And quite frankly, that's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing now. And Alex, let me tell you, this is not the typical, as you know, in fact, we talk about it in our conferences. This is not the typical Republican versus Democrat fracas. This is a battle for the future of the United States of America. And this is not Republican Democrat. This is pure evil. And they're playing for keeps. So recognize that when you're like one of us and you're involved in this, there's going to be no forgiveness. They are playing for blood, and we have to realize this. They're going after our children, and quite frankly, nothing that I'm seeing really surprises me. I, you know, as a student of politics, a student of history, and obviously a student of the scripture, what I'm seeing right now is not a surprise. But what concerns me is, what will America look like if the Lord tarries? You know, I want to make sure that my children and my grandchildren aren't persecuted for their faith. You know, we're the only Christians in 2,000 years of Christian history that haven't faced martyrdom. That's not by accident. That's by design. It's the Pilgrim and Puritan forefathers of the New England Confederation that built this, what has been exceptional as far as human government and human history. So we're working as hard as we can to reach as many churches as we can and then activate them. Of course, as you know, we've had great success with our Liberty Pastors Training Camp. We have a giant goal right now. We're hoping to be able to reach 4,000 churches over the next 18 months. And that's going to be a heavy lift. But we ask that our people be people on there watching the broadcast be praying about that. And it's actually in the works. We've got some very exciting things that we are working on. And of course, you will be a key part of.
Well, that's wonderful. And Paul, as you were talking, I thought you were going to say, with the number of people, I thought you were going to say something really small. You said 3 million. I'm like, man, Judges chapter 7, God had Gideon and 300 guys, and they took down this massive enemy army. I like those odds. Yep. 3 million plus God, yeah. We're in good shape, right? Amen. But in all seriousness, Paul, what should Christians be doing now? What does it look like to be a disciple? Let's start there. I mean, you know, I agree with you 100%. We can't just say, you know, I love Jesus and Jesus loves you, and so we're all good now. It's much more than that. Walk through, what does it look like to be a disciple, and what does that mean in the political realm, the business realm? What does it mean for our families?
Well, Alex, of course, we talk about this, and you pose the question, and we start our conferences with that question to these pastors. We ask them, what part of your life is Jesus not the Lord over? Then we follow it up and we say, those are the only subjects that you're not supposed to talk about in church. The reality is, as we all know, Jesus is supposed to be the Lord 24/7. And the whole Hebrew concept was to glorify God in all that you do. The Apostle Paul said, whatever you do, bring glory to the Lord. But we have adopted a form of Greek Gnosticism in the way we practice American Christianity, where we have a small little box where we have all our spiritual things with the certain subjects that are okay to talk about in church. And then the vast majority of our lives, we live outside of the influence of Christ and the Bible. We call that our secular lives. Well, that's nonsense. As Christian, I'm to glorify the Lord in everything that I do. So truly, if we as pastors are obediently making disciples, training our people to follow the Lord in every aspect of their life, then the way we handle money should be different. The way we raise our families should be different. Our marriages should look different. The ethics and integrity of Christian businessmen should be second to none. The work ethic of Christian employees should be second to none. And quite frankly, our politics should reflect it. You know, everybody that graduates seminary would answer this question correctly. You'd ask them, what are the three institutions that God established on planet Earth? Every seminarian would say that God established the home, God established the church, and God established this realm of civil government. Well, if that is in fact true, then it's just as proper to teach about the biblical goal, God's desire for your home, as it is to teach about God's desire for proper, limited civil government. But in America, we've adopted the idea that the civil government is supposed to take care of everything. Well, that's nonsense. Biblically, in fact, the basics of biblical worldview is to be able to properly categorize every topic in the proper realm of responsibility. It begins with self-government, family government, church government, civil government. You mentioned earlier the realm of education. God had entrusted parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nowhere is the civil governor been given the authority to raise the next generation. That belongs to mom and dads. We look back at the last couple of years, some of the insanity that we saw practiced on the people by city councils as well as governors. You know, if I deem that it's best for me to wear a mask out in public, then that's part of self-government. I need to make that decision. But it's not the mayor's responsibility or the governor's responsibility to close businesses or issue an edict or to issue a ruling that says everybody has to take vitamin C in the winter. That's up to you to make that decision regarding yourself. However, we've lost all relationship, all concept of self-government, family government, church government. Consequently, all that we have left in this beautiful Marxist society, comrade, is a glorious civil government to mandate and control everything from our cars to our gas stoves.
Yep. It's very sad, Paul. And I think you're exactly right. I think the reason we're in this mess is because multiple generations of Americans now have lost sight of what the Bible teaches, a biblical worldview. We're down to just a few minutes left, Paul. And I want to ask you something important. One of the things that you guys talk about a lot, and your co-pastor, Dan Fisher, former legislator in Oklahoma, another wonderful man that God has raised up for this time. He talks about the Black Robe Regiment, the incredibly significant role that pastors played in the founding of our nation. This is something that's been wiped from the history textbooks, and yet the monuments still stand, the government signs still stand. Talk a little bit about how influential and how important pastors were in even the establishment of our country.
Well, Dan talks about the pastors that were alive during the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And truly, without those pastors, we wouldn't have a free country. Those guys recognized the handwriting that was on the wall and recognized they were just the grandchildren of the reformers. So it hadn't been that long since they had been freed from the bonds of tyranny. And they recognized what was coming down the pike here in the colonies. And quite frankly, one of the things that we teach about, before your physical body can be enslaved, the tyrant must first encapture or enslave your mind. So that's why they always go after education first. They want to control the education of the children. One generation, they can control the future of a country. They must control the flow of media. We all maintain or make decisions based upon the facts as they're reported to us. So if the government can control the flow of media, they can control our reaction. And then the last thing that the founding era pastors understood that we don't understand is the freedom of conscience is something that a totalitarian government cannot tolerate. So in every totalitarian society, you either have an atheistic communism where there is no God, so government becomes God, or you have a theocracy, as they have in Saudi or in Iran, where God and government are one and the same. But either way, the people cannot have a free conscience to say the government is wrong, the government should not be doing this, I disagree with the government. The government can do no wrong in totalitarianism. So our founding fathers, those Black Robe Regiment pastors, recognized what was coming. And they trained their people, not just in the pews, but then they would go out into the town square and train with them with muskets. They were truly defenders of liberty. As a matter of fact, the shot heard around the world fought at the Battle of Lexington, Concord, was a pastor, Jonas Clark, with a deacon, John Brown, leading 77 Minutemen from Lexington in the churchyard, firing the first shots to defend the liberty that we still enjoy. And hopefully we won't be the generation that loses it.
Yeah, amen. That is just, it's unacceptable. There's no way we can accept losing that on our watch. We just can't do it. Paul, before we let you go, what's the best way for people to follow you, support you? You've got multiple ministries. By the way, folks, if you're in the Oklahoma City area, go to Fairview Baptist Church. If you're in Orlando, go to Liberty Church. Great, great biblical churches. But how can people find you, support your ministry, and support these efforts?
Go to libertypastors.com or libertypastors.org. From there, you've got links to all of our other websites, including Dan's Black Girl Regiment, our church website, everything else. There's ways there that you can contact us. So please go there. We've got lots of videos on our camps. We've got testimonials from pastors that have literally had their ministries transformed after completing our training camps. And then be watching the schedule. Our first camp coming up this year is going to be at Liberty University. They are wanting to partner with us, so we're going to begin work in the state of Virginia in Lynchburg coming up first week in August, right there at the tail end of July, first week in August. We'll have our first camp. We're going to try to start with training 500 pastors, and their seminary is going to attend at the same time, and then we'll be working our way out there in the Southeastern Conference and in the battleground states primarily.
Fantastic. Paul, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for joining us today. Hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon. All right, folks, stay with us. We're going to be right back with Judge Roy Moore. Stay tuned.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. We'd love to have you on board.
Hydrogen is used by health professionals as a powerful antioxidant and the number one tool to fight inflammation. Studies show therapeutic potential in cancer and essentially every organ and system in the body. Visit holyhydrogen.com to see the latest technology that elevates your immune system and fights inflammation. Search their research library to see if hydrogen has a track record for helping a health concern you're dealing with. Make sure to use your special American Media Periscope code, AMP, for $100 off your order.
Welcome back to Liberty Hour. And folks, do go support our advertisers. I mean, Epoch Times is a great newspaper. I write for them. I've written for them since 2019. Phenomenal publication. And you use that code and you get some discounts. It was just, I can't recommend it highly enough. Our next guest is Judge Roy Moore. He's the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. I think one of the most interesting and amazing legal minds in our nation. He was known for a long time as the Ten Commandments judge. He put up a big statue of the Ten Commandments. The federal courts didn't like him. A rogue federal court actually ended up removing him from his post, and then the people reelected him in a massive margin. He ran for U.S. Senate. He was supported by Donald Trump, but a horrific Kavanaugh-style smear campaign was launched against him. He's now been vindicated in court. Also, I suspect some really shady issues with the voting, but he's won a major court victory. And I believe the reason they went after Judge Moore, the deep state, the radical left, is because they know he is one of the most effective, one of the most clear-thinking, one of the most principled and constitutionally-minded Christian men in public service in America today, and maybe for the last few generations. Judge Moore, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's just wonderful to have you. Before we get into some like legal questions, give us a little like rundown of what happened. I mean, you ran for Senate. It was looking real good. They came through with these drive-by accusations, and now you have won at least one big court victory. What's the status? What's going on with that, and what do people need to know?
Well, we've won several court victories. First, we had one of the accusers bring a suit against me for defamation for just denying what she said. And we won that in Montgomery. Since then, we've also sued the Senate Majority PAC and Washington, D.C. We got a, which is being held up in court. We still haven't received any monies or anything, but at least we got the verdict. and we got a victory over the Senate Majority PAC, which actually defamed my reputation. And we're still, we have several cases in court now, and we're fighting court cases even as we speak. I've got a conspiracy trial in state court against several that started these rumors and accusations. And basically, Alex, what it was all about is they didn't like a politician acknowledging God. They didn't like the fact that we acknowledge this is what our country is based on, what our law is based on. And that's one of the reasons I've had trouble with the judicial inquiry commissions, which don't like judges who acknowledge that our freedoms come from God. And all history says that. So basically, I'm fighting the same battle that I've always fought, is acknowledging God. That's what the Ten Commandments stand about. People don't understand how in-depth the Ten Commandments, how much it means to our country. Washington, our founding father, actually understood this. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. What he was talking about, the first and second table of the law, the first four commandments belonging to God, and the second six, the government has power to pass laws about. So basically, it's about God. It's always been about God. And if you want opposition in government, if you want opposition in politics, just acknowledge God and you'll get it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Judge Moore.
So we're still fighting the battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just hit the nail on the head. You know, sometimes the anti-Christian fanatics go into a Christian school and they massacre Christian babies and children. Sometimes they defame Christian men who are standing up and standing on the word of God while trying to be involved in government. All right, folks, it looks like we lost the signal for Judge Moore. Hopefully we'll get him back soon. He is such a wealth of knowledge, a true man of God, trying to do the right thing. And, you know, sometimes the anti-Christian fanatics shoot up churches, like that lunatic in South Carolina shot up the church. Sometimes they go shoot up Christian schools, like we just saw last week. Sometimes they spread vile accusations about people trying to do the right thing. So hopefully we'll get Judge Moore back on a future episode. He really is a wonderful man, and you know, terrible what they did to him, but I'm glad he is still there. He is still fighting, and we're gonna be right back, folks. We'll have an extended segment with our next guest, another giant, probably the world's top expert on home education in terms of the data, the research. What does the literature say? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Nature Reigns, we're dedicated to a holistic way of living that improves your quality of life from one day to the next. It all begins with a new technology called the Quantum Cellular Scan. We will remotely map the inside of your body, from organs and vital signs, frequencies and tones, and find the results that will help identify what your body needs. We then tailor a health plan that fits you specifically. Welcome to a world of natural health. Welcome to Nature Reigns. Did you know that there is a community of human beings that live to be well over 100 years old? The Hunza people live to be anywhere between 120 to 140 years old. Their secret? Vitamin B17. At Richardson Nutrition Center, we have developed a product line to easily incorporate B17 back into your diet. Use your special American Media Periscope code AMP888 to receive 15% off your first order at rncstore.com.
Welcome back to Liberty Hour. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thank you for joining us on the American Media Periscope Network. Again, do sign up for AMP Insider. Check out our advertisers. Our next guest is Dr. Brian Ray. He's the president of the National Home Education Research Institute. You can find him online at nheri.org. He is internationally known for his research on home education. He's published numerous peer-reviewed articles. He's done books. He's done chapters in books for almost four decades. He often serves as an expert witness in courts and legislatures. He has served as a professor of science, a professor of education at the undergraduate and the graduate levels. He's got a degree in biology. He's got a master's in zoology from Ohio State University. He's got a PhD in science education from Oregon State University. Dr. Ray, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, there's been an increasing attack on homeschooling. We've seen Sweden ban homeschooling. Obviously, we saw Adolf Hitler ban homeschooling. Now we've seen the French and the Portuguese. More and more governments are coming down. And now we have a movement afoot in the United States with very powerful individuals in the legal profession saying we need to just ban homeschooling. The lady from Harvard says we need a presumptive ban on home education because parents might teach their kids bad stuff. They might not get a good education. They might even abuse their kids. What do you make of this, Dr. Ray? Should we be concerned about the well-being, the education of children who are being educated at home by their parents?
We should not be concerned in a bad way. I mean, we've had thousands of years of people wanting to control the education of children. I mean, that's what government-run education is all about. It's about teaching, training, and indoctrinating children. People in the early years of America knew that it was a battle over what children think. I mean, there were many people who were opposed to government-run schooling and the forced redistribution of wealth to teach children. The ones who wanted it, they basically won. So that's where we are, Alex. But anyway, so when you have people like Dr. Bartolet and others making claims, you'll notice that it's almost always without empirical basis. So there should not be a negative concern. In fact, if we talk about it and I lay out for you the research on homeschooling over the last 35 years, maybe people should be promoting homeschooling more. As you can see here, that ever since the start of the rebirth of homeschooling in America, after home education had become extinct by the 1970s, there's been steady growth year after year after year. And I want people to keep in mind that before 1900, parent-directed home-based education was the norm in America, and it was the norm all over the world. So, you know, from home education, we got inventors, artists, authors, candlestick makers, butchers, legislators, lawmakers, mathematicians, the pyramids, all these kinds of things. So people have to remember that institutionalized schooling is not what made necessarily any nation great. So, you know, that's what we know so far. And when if people look at the academic achievement of homeschool, that was one of the first things that researchers wanted to know was, yeah, but how in the world can parents who are not government approved teachers possibly teach your children how to read, write, do arithmetic? I mean, after all, you know, doesn't it take 4 years of a college education to teach a child that the letter A has three sounds, at, a, ah? Well, the answer is no. You know, we have, I did a review of research, of peer-reviewed research, only peer-reviewed research. I kind of narrowed it down that way. And 63% of the 19 peer-reviewed studies so far in academic achievement show, 63% show the home educated are doing statistically significantly better than those in institutional schools. So, you know, that does not mean that all children who are home educated are above average. That's ridiculous. Not everybody's above average all the time, but it does tell us that typically and on average, if you home educate your child, he or she will do better in terms of academic achievement than if you had put him in an institutional school. So, you know, that was one of the first big questions that researchers asked. And then, of course, homeschool families know, and they've all heard the question. They call it the S question. And researchers wanted to know too, what about socialization? Now, I'll give you the research and I'll make a few comments or we can talk about it if you want. It's going to sound like a broken record. 64% of all peer-reviewed studies on the social and emotional development of children show that those who are being home educated are doing better in terms of their social and emotional development than those in institutional schools, which, you know, some people are surprised. I'm not surprised. Maybe we'll get into to why or why not. Then the researchers wonder, okay, well, maybe they're doing okay academically. Maybe they're doing okay in terms of social emotional development. But what about how are they going to do in adulthood? And researchers have used all kinds of measures to look at success or how people are doing in adulthood. And here's what we got so far. 50%, half the studies have shown that the home educated are doing statistically significantly better than those who went to conventional schools in adulthood, including college. So some people might ask, well, what about the other 50% of the studies? Most of those studies show no significant difference or a few mixed results. But overall, the weight of it is that the home educated are doing better. So, you know, basically we have so far now after about 35 years of research that those children who are homeschooled, for those who are homeschooled, and even when some of the demographics are controlled statistically in the studies, they're doing at least as well and typically better than those who went to institutional school. So really at this point, I suggest that professional educators and the general public should be saying, not are we concerned about home education, but if that's true, if those studies are true, why are we not actively and proactively promoting home education to all parents?
Yep, absolutely. And frankly, I'm terribly concerned about the children in government schools. The idea that government schools, where less than one third of the children, according to the federal government's own data, are proficient in anything, should be worried about homeschool. I mean, it's frankly flabbergasting to me.
So we've
seen this huge growth in homeschooling. We saw a big surge during COVID. It's eased back a little bit, but based on the trend, and we showed the graph earlier, but based on the trends that we're seeing, do you expect homeschooling to continue growing? And what is driving that growth? Yeah, there's better academics. Yeah, there's better socialization. They're doing better later in life. But what's causing so many more parents to pull their kids out of traditional institutional schools and do it at home?
Well, let's touch one more thing I left out. There's not a lot of research on this, but it ties right into what your two previous guests were talking about, worldview. How do people think? You know, why do we think what we think? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we vote like we vote? Why do we watch the movies we watch? Why do we spend the money the way we spend money? And I want to say this, I'm going to get to a little bit of research in a moment. If you have your children under the teaching, training and indoctrination. And by the way, I use indoctrination, whether it's public schooling, homeschooling, or private schooling. Education is always pouring values and beliefs into children. It's teaching them doctrine. You know, so if your children are under the teaching, training, and indoctrination of statism, socialism, genderism, CRT, secular humanism, LGBTQIAism, and whatever, for 12 years, 6 hours per day, what would you expect them to be thinking like when they come out at 18 years of age? And I think that parents, whether they call themselves conservatives, whether they call themselves classical liberals, whether they call themselves Christians, they've got to think about this. And when they see legislators voting the wrong way, or they see culture going the wrong way, they have to look at themselves and say, what in the world am I letting my child be indoctrinated into for 12 years? It's really hard to undo that. So now we know from research that what we have so far, that when children are home educated, they end up more strongly believing and affirming the worldview of their parents than they would otherwise. And so that gets back to, why is homeschooling growing? Homeschooling growing is growing because the reasons for home educating are very fundamental, and they have been for the last 35 years. That is, parents want strong academics. And by the way, this is not in any particular order. Parents want strong academics. They want more family time. They want stronger family relationships. They want less distraction for the children. They want less bullying of the children. They want a more customized education for their children. They want the education to be individualized to the child's strengths, weaknesses, dreams, and desires. And they want their children to learn a worldview that they would not get in a place called government or public school. And I think during the last few years of the government lockdowns of schools, when children were at home, parents got a firsthand glimpse of reality into what's happening in the schools. And they know, many parents know, it is the antithesis. It is totally opposite of what they want their children to be hearing during the day. So many people experienced homeschooling. By the way, government school at home was not homeschooling. But a lot of people could see through that and say, hey, this is not the greatest thing run by the government. But if we could do this as a family in a relaxed environment by choice, this is a lot better than institutional schooling, especially run by the government. So I think it's going to continue to grow, Alex. There are a lot of growth factors. There are some limiting factors. But when more people homeschool, there's less adult peer pressure against it. And we also know from research that those who were home educated, when they're adults and have children, they will homeschool their children at a higher rate. So I think we're going to continue to see growth in the population of homeschooling.
Yeah. And, you know, just from my anecdotal experience, all the things that you're saying are just so obviously true. Homeschooled children are doing so much better in everything that you can kind of observe than the kids coming out of the government schools. And also just more and more families. You know, we had an open house the other day at one of our co-ops, just amazing the number of families that are now considering this. Dr. Ray, what do you think about these efforts to ban and further regulate homeschooling? Do you think they're going to find, I know it's hard to predict the future, but do you think they're going to find success as they push on this?
You know, it's happening in some other nations. In the United States, again, we've been talking about history and worldview here. We still have a pretty strong history and culture of independence. The second thing is, and I'm reflecting back at what I think his name was Pastor Paul Blair said, parents need to stay engaged. They need to stay involved in the culture when it comes to contacting legislators, making phone calls. And here's what we've seen in the homeschool world. The homeschool world is amazing. It is one of the only truly true freedom spaces. I call it the homeschool freedom space. And when legislators start to talk about bills that would encroach on the freedoms of parents to do their duty to educate their children, homeschool parents come out in droves. They can shut down phone lines of legislators. They show up by the hundreds and some states, thousands to testify against these bills. So right now, it's not scary for the freedom of parental rights in America, but constantly in every state, people have to stay alert. They got to stay in touch with their lobbyists who protect parental rights. They need to stay in touch and be members of groups like the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. So it's always the power mongers and the people who like to control children are always trying to do something to control children and take away home education rights. So we always have to be on the alert if we believe in that, Alex. Always, every day, every week, every legislative session, never let up.
Yeah. And it's like that with all liberties. I mean, our founding fathers warned us that the price of liberty is going to be eternal vigilance. You have to beware because there are always totalitarians among us who want to take our freedoms. It's just, you know, human nature. We live in a fallen world. Dr. Ray, you know, there's big things going on right now in education world. As you know, my state here in Florida, we just signed this universal school voucher thing. Just this week, a similar measure up in Georgia failed. The Democrats and some Republicans teamed up to block it. But Utah has just adopted one. Last year, Arizona adopted one where basically the government wants to give taxpayer money, public money to homeschoolers, Christian schools, private schools. And there's a lot of, I guess, division among conservatives and even among some Christians, even some of the homeschool community. The leadership's pretty united against it, but among the actual homeschool families, there are quite a few that want government money. What are your thoughts on this whole issue? Should the government be giving us money to homeschool or do Christian school?
I think this goes again right back to your previous guest, Alex. We need to think fundamentally. Either if you say that you're a Christian, you got to think fundamentally like the Bible talks about. If you say you're a classical libertarian liberal, you need to think about that and follow that. So from those two worldviews, the government from the get-go should have no authority, no involvement in the teaching, training, and indoctrination of children. So in reality, from those two worldviews, we should have never had government public schooling, and we should not have the government taking Alex's money, property by force, and giving it to Susie's or Sally's or Billy's family for the education of children. So that's the fundamental issue right here. And I would say that if a person says he's a conservative or a Christian or classical liberal, he should be fighting against the redistribution of wealth for education, not for more ways to do it. I mean, it's the duty of parents. It's their responsibility to raise and educate children, not the government. So that's the fundamental basic thing. And we all need to live from those fundamental things and not pragmatics. But I will give a pragmatic. Whenever there is government money involved, that's called tax dollars, whether it's for public charter schools, public institutional brick and mortar schools, or these redistribution of wealth efforts to private schools and homeschoolers, there must be government control. We all believe in government control. If the Army can get a hammer for $22, but they got a contract and they're paying $99 per hammer, we should all be upset. We want the government to control what happens with our money. So every single one of these alleged conservative legislators or people who are promoting tax dollars to private schools and to homeschoolers should say, I believe as soon as the tax dollars are given to these private schools and homeschoolers, we should control them more and more and more. And every single parent should be thinking about this. If they have their children in private education, or homeschool private education, they should say, if the government gives me a tax dollar, I want the government to control me a whole lot to make sure I'm spending the money the way the government wants me to spend it. That's the clearest way I can say it, Alex. Tax dollars will have controls. We know that from research, the history of government money all over the world. People can look at Dr. Charles Glenn's book, The Ambiguous Embrace. It's a scary title, The Ambiguous Embrace. When tax dollars flow to nonprofit private institutions and organizations, they lose their zeal, they lose their mission, there are more controls over them. That's what happens. And I don't know why people who call themselves conservatives and Christians are promoting the expansion of socialism and statism by what's called school choice with a capital SC. I really, really want to challenge people to stop promoting that.
Yeah. And this is a discussion that I think needs to be had because they've got a lot of momentum right now. The wind is in their sails. And you hear, you know, typical arguments like, well, you know, they're taking all my money to pay to brainwash other people's kids. I should get a little bit of it back. Right. And I think there's better solutions than that.
Can I say something on that?
Please do.
You know, Americans think there's all this money out there in a pool, you know, somewhere in a puddle. Like, okay, I'm a taxpayer. I've got my children in Catholic schools or Lutheran schools, or I'm homeschooling them, and I'm paying my property taxes. So there must be a bucket of money out there already waiting for me to take that for my children. That's not how it works, Alex. The money that's being collected right now, that's being taken from you by force, taken from your neighbors by force for schooling, is paying for the public school students who are already in the government schools. If private educators, private schools, and private homeschoolers start saying, I want government money, the government has to raise more taxes and start taking more property and money by force. Now, I know there's some complicated formulas and some people say, well, it's not quite that simple, Brian. The simple fact is, if you have more kids under government funding for education, you've got to raise taxes.
Yep, no question about it. And of course, the control will follow, is what's happened everywhere. Dr. Brian Rehe, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program. The website is nheri.org. I rely on it a lot in my own journalism, my own reporting. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your research, and thank you for coming on the show. All right, folks, we are just about out of time, but we got one more segment, final thoughts. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, Ph.D. at 720-605-3900. Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller. If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.
You ask the questions. You participate. Next time, interact with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Ask the Expert every Thursday night at 8:30, only on AMP Insider.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
Welcome back for our final segment, folks. Final thoughts for today. So much from our guests. Sorry we lost Judge Moore. We're going to try to get him back maybe next week or soon thereafter. But I think each of them had some really valuable insights into what we need to do. And, you know, starting with Pastor Blair, I do not believe this country can be turned around without God and without the pulpits. I mean, we've got to have pastors teaching the truth to their congregations, denouncing and rebuking and exposing evil, as Ephesians 5:11 says. These are critical things. And these are things that past generations of pastors in this country understood. In fact, we wouldn't have a country if it hadn't have been for the pastors in early America who were just on fire for God and for the things of God, like liberty. Judge Moore is really a good example of what happens when somebody stands up on the truth and someone stands up for what's right. They will come after you. They absolutely will. And so, you know, we go into this battle knowing they will say mean things about us. They will attack us. They may even try to hurt us. Right? But we understand that Jesus Christ himself told us that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. And then on the home education front, folks, the education of our children is one of the most critical decisions we will make as parents. And there will be responsibility, right? I mean, the way your kids turn out, that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. That's going to affect your children and your grandchildren and certainly your country and your community. So make a good decision, folks. We're just about out of time, folks, but I hope you will share this out. Grab the link. Use the links down below to support our advertisers, keep us on the air, and also get this information out, folks. Be in prayer. Our country is in dire, dire straits, but we don't have to lose it. But we do have to get busy. I'm Alex Newman. This is Liberty Hour on AMP Network. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.
Where we go one?